Don Cherry, the star of Coach's Corner and Hockey Night in Canada, joins us on this Monday morning. Grapes, 92 goals by a teenager by Jimmy Karsten. You think that one will ever tumble? I can't see it.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of guys coming along, and but you're right. He was the star, and all of a sudden he was gone. He could put that puck in the net just like Liney, but you're right, he just disappeared. Boy, that's a lot of goals when you're a kid.
No kidding.
Hey, the Islanders roll into town tonight, Grapes, and obviously Matt Barzal's quite a remarkable story, but a lot of people wonder about the future of John Tavares, who is an unrestricted free agent this summer. You know, based on what your experience around John and the type of player he is and the character, Do you see him staying with the Islanders, or do you see him going elsewhere?
You know, if they had been on a hot streak at right near the end, or if they had been a contender, I remember he was in the prospect game I did, and he was dynamite back then. But he's cooled off the last month or so. I don't know. Maybe it's the idea that he's going to leave or something like that. But cool off. But he is a great hockey player. That all depends. I don't know him that well, but boy, they're going to have to offer him an awful lot of money to stay. You know, they've got the building, they got the new building, and they're moving all over the place. And maybe he likes New York. I don't know, but boy, somebody's going to offer him an awful lot. What a great spot to be in. He's got to get a little hotter than he's been lately.
Don, let's talk about the outdoor game. You were there on the weekend when Toronto was playing. They didn't play very well, and they really got lambasted by their head coach afterwards. That basically, they made them look like kids. Do you like the idea of outdoor games, Don?
Well, what happens is where you are, where you go, it is really a big thing, as you can see. There was really something. After we did our opening, we were going up in between the midshipmen or whatever they call them. Was really something to be, and was it colder? But wherever it is, it's a big deal. But there has been an awful lot, and I've been to most of them, and it does. But where they are, it's a big deal. But I don't think the luster is really the same for the people watching. It's not quite the same. Not like in Edmonton. That was really something. That was the first game. It was the coldest. It was colder there than any place I've ever been, and the ice was so bad. They didn't know 10 minutes before whether they were going to play the game. So you're asking me where the game is, it's dynamite. But after, there's been so many.
What did you think of Toronto's white uniforms?
I didn't like them. I mean, that's McLean. That's the thing with McLean. He doesn't think any uniform should be white, even in the National Hockey League, because he says you lose it. You know, I never noticed till I started to watch. He thinks it should be off a little color. The ice is white, and if you have a white uniform, you lose it. So it's a big thing with them. I didn't like them. I mean, evidently the Leafs didn't like them either. But no, I don't like them at all.
Don Cherry with us here this morning on Sportsnet 650. To bring it a little closer to home here, Grapes, you've got the Vancouver Canucks, who are right now kind of sit in a lottery position, and I don't see that changing at any point in time. They're basically fourth from the basement right now. Right now, it's about evaluating young players and for Travis Green to try to figure out who's a winner, who's a guy he can play with, who's a guy he can win with. And at the same time, when you've got veterans on the team and you've got this sort of mix and you're in this scenario where you know you're essentially playing out the string for another month, what sort of challenges are there as a head coach now going forward with the final 17 games?
Well, first of all, the thing I don't understand is why they don't play better at home, why Calgary doesn't play better at home, and why Edmonton doesn't play better at home. You know, losing record and great crowds there. I mean, those crowds don't get on to people. Vancouver fans have been pretty good. You know, usually if the power play doesn't work, they boo. And they've been pretty good. What you have to do is not be fooled too much as a coach, because what happens is there's no pressure on anybody right now. And it's a little different, how would I say, in March than it is in October. It's a lot of different. But what happened with Vancouver, they were rolling. If you remember, they were rolling along pretty good. Travis doing a good job. Everybody was happy, I remember, at the start. But they had key injuries right at bad times. And, you know, it just kept coming and coming, the injuries. And you had guys rolling along. All of a sudden, they're gone. So as a coach, you have to be very careful that you don't get carried away with the teams out of the playoffs. All of a sudden, everybody's playing good. And you see that all the time. I remember I was with the Boston Bruins, I mean, nobody ever beat us in the Gardens, and we were looking ahead. It was my fault, too. I was looking ahead to, I think, Montreal coming in, and we forgot about Colorado. Colorado wasn't very good at the time, and they came in and beat us at the Gardens. I never forgot. Funny, I know, I remember that like it was yesterday. What a, I think it went off somebody's foot, the winner. So you have to be very careful and evaluating players and teams that are out of the playoffs, because, as you know, when you're playing pool, I was a great player, and somebody put $20 on the table, and I choke up a little. So I always take it with a grain of salt when a team at the bottom beats somebody. But then you have to look at the other way, that the guy's not quitting. So you have to be very careful as the general manager and coach. The general manager, too, he's looking too. You see a guy on another team, boy, is he ever good. Yeah, no pressure. So that's the way you have to watch it.
But there's challenges. I mean, to try to get everybody up, when you just the motivation, I guess, for some of those veteran guys, right? It's not just looking ahead one game. It's, you know, when you've got weeks ahead, for that matter.
Well, if I was a veteran, this is a time, if I could turn it on any more, it would be now, because they're going to think, look, we're losing with the veterans, and we're paying them. That's the problem. We're paying them pretty good dough. Why not lose with a bunch of kids and they'll develop? So. If this is when everybody should turn it on, because they're playing for next year's contract, because there'll be a lot of guys on that club that won't be back next year, I guarantee you. And that's the same way in the other team, too, because you have to think of it as an owner, general manager, and a coach. Hey, I'm losing with these guys. Why not have some new guys in here?
Don, if you were coaching Vancouver and they came to you and said, you know, what are we going to do with Daniel and Henrik Sedin? They were, you know, top four in scoring. Daniel's been at a torrid pace in the last month or so scoring for Vancouver. Yeah. Do you, as a coach, are you okay bringing guys like that back for another season?
Well, you lost with them. And I hear a lot of people, and I hear the broadcasters say that you can't blame them. But when they're on the power play, that's the killer. When they're on the power play, you don't have somebody developing. And I can't say that. I think they've had one of the better years. They were minus 26 last year. I think they're only about, they're not minus 26. So they are playing pretty good. And that is a real dilemma. I mean, I think they, don't they have another year of their contract?
No, they're done. They're unrestricted free agents at the end of this year.
Well, they'd have to really take a pay cut, you know, get around $2 or $3 million, which is not bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the only way they'd have to take a pretty good pay cut, because I don't think anybody, and they don't want to be broken up, so I don't think anybody else would take him for like $4 or $5 million. I just don't think so, because it is a problem, though. But I have always felt it this way: if you look at all the young kids coming in now, all of a sudden they blossom, and if they don't get a chance on that power play, that's where they have to get the chances on the power play to score a few goals. So they've got a real problem. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. They might offer him two or $3 million. They might stay.
Don, how do you approach two players like that? They're, you know, potential future Hall of Famers. Do you have a situation in your career where you had to approach someone and say, you know what, your time might be up here in the NHL, and it's time you move on? It's someone that's been, you know, with your team for as many years as Daniel Henrik have, since they were drafted. How do you go to someone and say it's time for you to leave?
Well, it's funny. I had the same problem when I first went to Bruins. We had a left winger who scored 500 goals, and it came to me, and they said, you got to tell him he's finished. I'm going to tell him I just come from Rochester, and I'm going up to this Hall of Famer and tell him he's finished. And unfortunately, or unfortunately, he hurt his back. And so, you know, I got younger guys in there. Me personally, and I'm not putting words in Travis's mouth or anything like that. I think he'd like to get some young, because he's great with the, as you saw with the juniors, he's just super with the younger players. And I think he'd, personally, I think he'd like to, but like, how does he go up to Sedin and say, we don't want you back? And it looks like, from what I've read in the paper and said, that they're willing to come back. So it's going to be a toughie. I don't know who the guy goes up to him and tells him you're finished, but it'll be very interesting to see, because right now they're one of their better players.
Yeah,
Daniel on fire right now.
You've got to get the kids out there playing. If they're sitting in the minors and they don't get a shot, and you have to think of it this way: we're not going to make the playoffs with them, so. That's their dilemma.
I think there's a lot of people right now listening saying you're absolutely right, Grapes. Who was that veteran, by the way?
Johnny Busick.
It was Johnny Busick. Oh, okay, wow. Yeah.
That's a tough one.
500 goals. He's one of the premier left wingers of all time. And I told Harry, I said, I'm not telling. If you want to tell him, you can tell him. He's still playing. You know, it's a funny thing. He was still playing pretty good. That was it's like Sedin's. He was still playing pretty good, but he wasn't playing like I as left wingers. I wanted to get in there. I couldn't get as long as he was playing. Then he hurt his back, and he couldn't come back after that. Which I felt bad, you know, in a way because you know he's. But he's still with the Bruins. He got a great job. He's like I think he takes care of the meal money, and he's like a secretary on the road.
Don Cherry with us here on Sportsnet 650. Grapes, just in closing, a week ago was the NHL's trade deadline. There were a few emotional people around here weighing in on it. But obviously, when you look at the contenders and people that made their moves as the dust settles, who's your Stanley Cup favorite right now at this point?
Well, I like Winnipeg. I mean, if Hellebuyck keeps playing and they picked up Stastny, I mean, and they're a good team. They're a fun team to watch. I mean, they're not getting those stupid penalties like they used to. And, boy, I like them. I like the way they play, but I'd have to go with Tampa the way, you know, for Stanley Cup. But the Canadian teams, boy, I like that Winnipeg, the way they're playing. They take no prisoners. They got that Buffalo back there. If you're fooling around with one of their stars, like he steps in. So Hellebuyck's playing good. And so I like I hope Winnipeg wins because that's the way they play. And, you know, Morris is a good coach. He's a good guy and everything. But if you're asking me, I think Tampa's got the upper hand. But, boy, how about Boston? I mean, can I say they just keep rolling along. Bergeron, maybe the MVP of the league, and he hurts his foot. I don't know how they do it. They don't have anybody in the top 25. Think about that. That is unbelievable the way they're doing it. So I'd like to see the Bruins win, but I don't know. They're pretty thin. When you get in the seven-game series, it's pretty tough. So I like Tampa, I guess, and Winnipeg. They're two teams, funny fun teams to watch, but I'm repeating myself. But Winnipeg, I just love the way they play.
Well, you pulling for the Bruins, there's a shocker.
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
That's right. They got Rick Nash. That's all they need.
I mean, really think about it. Nobody in the top 25 of the scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're just roaring along. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. And Marchand's the top scorer, and he got a beautiful goal the other night there, and I had to have to bring that in. I remember when I first started Hockey Night in Canada, I used to do the color all the time, eh? And I was told by the producer that I had to stop cheering for the Bruins because it's too evident. Back then, they tried to tell me what to do.
Nicely done.
Oh, and I remember Craig McTavish scored in Montreal. He said, "There you are. We're beating them tonight." And that was my last. That was my last time.
Well played. Hey, nice to catch up with you again. It's been too long, and we'll talk to you again in a few weeks. Okay.
Okay, see you later. Toodaloo.
Thanks, Grapes. All right, Don Cherry from Coach's Corner
and
Hockey Night in Canada.
Sportsnet 650.